Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
John is in travel. Give a shout out to John as he's flying through the airways from Texas to Jersey very soon, or maybe now as we would speak.
But the scenic route.
It's the favor of the Lord through Nagina route.
That's the best guy. That's the best guy.
Thank you, Nagina. If you missed the first hour, you've got to hear about the fear of the Lord. You're going to be challenged, encouraged, and it's going to remind you, oh my goodness, that's exactly what I need to be doing. That's where I need to be. Also, you're talking about faith. It's going to require faith for us to be able to step out and understanding that. And as we begin to talk about, you know, the move of God that's actually inside of you, we're going to continue that conversation in the beginning of the hour. But also, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we're going to be able to have a segment in talking about how he says it, and he'll say it in his own words. I'm only holding you to what's written on the paper. Yeah, he was talking about the original intent of America, the U.S. Constitution. Listen, it's important. God wants us to hold him to his word, and as Americans, we need to hold our country to the Constitution. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
Well, we're just talking about a move of God, and just to kind of catch you up, is that there's a move of God inside of you. Listen, if you're a believer, and even if you're not a believer, today you can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and from this point on, you're part of the family of God, and you can listen to what I'm saying. But listen, God gives to each man a measure of faith. A measure of faith. It doesn't tell us that we all got the same measure. Mm-hmm. You know, but it gives us a measure of faith. And in that you connect that faith to God and begin to cry out to God and say, Lord, you know, I want, and what happens is it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what happens is that the kingdom of God that's within you gets released in the environment when you have faith for it to be released, and things happen when the king is around. And when two of us get together in agreement, Jesus as king rules in our presence, because it's where two or more gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of it. By the way, when Jesus shows up, you know, he's the king.
That's it.
He's the king. That's what the kingdom is all about. And so we're believing God for a third great awakening, a third great awakening. It'll begin with the fear of the Lord. Listen, a sin will not stop until a man fears the Lord and the consequences of his decision. Because there's no fear of the Lord, just all these things are taking place. Changing the scriptures, choosing not to read, teaching the word of God, but not even reading the word of God. It's like, anyway, and so, but think about that. When you think about Charles Seymour, as I was talking about, who was in California and his life, and you could find out more about him on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch, one of God's generals. He just cried out. He was desperate for God. And when we're desperate for God, we're aware of God, and we're aware that God's aware of us, and we're just getting in tune with what he wants to take place on earth. That's how he told us to pray, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And his will is to let everyone know that he loves them and has a plan for their life. And the only thing that he doesn't love is a thing that divides them from a destiny with him, which is sin. But he'll deal with that if we'll confess that and make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. And he wants them to know, and he wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to set the captive free. He wants to heal our emotions, heal our body. He wants to reveal his secrets to us. He wants a relationship with you. And he wants you to let people know he wants a relationship with them outside of you. This move of God, this powerhouse, the kingdom that's inside of you, the glory waiting to be released inside of you. Listen, Christ in you is the hope of glory to manifest where you are. In your marriage, in your family, in your house, in your ministry, in your gathering, in your workplace, in your city, in your nation. Listen, we have to step up and say, you know what? You know, understand this. Every time that Satan is not going to be kicking back and go, oh, great, you're crying out for a move of God and God's going to respond and I'm not going to mess with you. Listen, a great door of opportunity is open to me, Paul said, but with it, much persecution. God says, you know, you can't give up anything for him and not be returned a hundredfold this lifetime and the lifetime to come. But with it, persecution. Mm-hmm. He talks about the seed and the sower. But what happens when the seed is sowed, understand that you'll do battle with that word and persecution will come because of the word. I mean, you're going to have to fight. It's the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing since the time of John the Baptist, Jesus said, and it's forceful men to lay hold on it. But understand, if you're willing to do the work, you know, it's the working of miracles. It's the working of a move of God. It takes work, don't it?
That's right.
These show up, blow in, blow up, and blow out. Say, hey, hang around for the work.
Yeah, right.
And understand that we're believing God for a third great awakening, and I just want to stir the faith of God inside of you. I want you to be like the woman with the issue of blood, so desperate that you're willing to go to a place that everybody else told you you couldn't be because she had issue of blood. She couldn't touch anybody, and she was supposed to be outside the city because she was considered unclean. She didn't even care. She just wanted to get to Jesus. And the people hanging around Jesus, when Jesus said, who touched me, they didn't have a clue what was going on. But he said, virtue has left me. The anointing has left me. And he turns around to see who it was, and he says, who's touched me? And all the people that are familiar with him said, what do you mean? Come on, let's go. And he says, you know, he looks around, he sees her down on the ground, healed, whole. And he says, your faith has made you whole. So your faith, the release of the glory out of you, done under and in the kingdom of God, is this move of God that's waiting to take place. So by hearing the word of God, the testimonies of the manifestation of the glory of God will begin to stir your faith and their faith and transform not only your life, but the life of others around you. What will it cost you? Oh, everything. But it's God. No, wait a minute. It's really God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't mind giving it. I was like, if I would have known God was like this, I would have made this decision a long time ago. I was sold a religious bill of goods. I always thought I had to sit there and listen to something that they didn't even understand they were telling me.
Right.
But I got God. And I'm going to spend eternity with him. And I have this little thing called a vapor of time, a small amount of time for me to be able to do something for him to show my gratitude. Well, I don't know how much freedom I have left. I don't know how much time I have left. I don't know how much life I have left. But I want to give it all for the cause that you might know Jesus Christ as your Lord. Now, I'm talking about really know him and him know you. Understand the demons believe and know that Jesus exists and they tremble. I'm talking about the point where you know him and you tremble. But you also know his love and his compassion. And that fear of the Lord, that trembling that takes place in your life, allows you to be used by God in ways you never thought possible because the fear of the Lord constrains you. The fear of the Lord leads you. And a move of God that's inside of you can be released. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, I'm thinking about the, you know, who does God consider great in his kingdom? I mean, because you have some people that when they get tested, and everybody's going to be tested, all their works are going to be tested, that whatever's not of God will just burn up, but they'll make it. Then you have other people whose work is good, and it won't burn up, and it will last. Everything will be tested by the fires. And the thing is that, well, I guess it would be those who are greatest in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And I think about of all the things that, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, who did nothing and said nothing unless his Father, now our Father, through him, said. So this is God sending his Son, living amongst us, who begins his ministry after being baptized by John the Baptist, goes through his time of testing, comes out, chooses his disciples, and then sits on the side of a mountain and begins to speak the words of the Father to us, begin to explain God to us. Begin to explain, we call it, he had a sermon on the edge of this mountain. So you hear people say it's a sermon on the mount. What they're saying is, you know, God sat down and had a conversation with us through his son. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the son, you've seen the father. And one thing he talks about the greatest, who is the least and the greatest in the kingdom of God. And the question is, what's your place? What place do you want to have? In Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, he talks about this. Jesus is speaking to us and speaking to them at the time. And he says, don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. How many people just say, oh, just throw that all out. You don't need that. And that's where all these false doctrines mm-hmm. come from. He says, don't even think that I've come to destroy you. He says, I have not come to abolish or do away with them, but to fulfill them. He is the fulfillment of the word. If you throw out any part of the word of God, you're throwing out your understanding of Jesus Christ and what he fulfilled. And he goes on to say, he says, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappears, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. What does that mean? The whole word of God, every bit of the word of God is important to us, and we need to apply it to our life. And this is powerful, as Jesus is telling us everything written in the word of God will be accomplished, which is a revelation. When you even look at Revelation, you think, wow, the awesomeness of God and a new heaven and a new earth and coming back ruling and reigning with Christ. And then he says this, and he talks about, okay, this is my kingdom. And he says, and anyone who breaks one of the least of these commands, you think about it, okay, so hello, man and woman who's teaching that these things should not even be anymore. And he's going, listen, he's saying, you're going to be judged on how you respond to them. Mm. He says, anyone who breaks, how can I break it, Jesus? Didn't you fulfill it so there's no expectations of, you know, I'm just like, I just said a prayer. Isn't that what? And he says, and anyone who breaks one of the least of these commands. Think about that. Interesting. Hopefully we get a chance to talk about that in this program today, because people categorize sin. They go, this is a small sin. This is a big sin. Their sin is a big sin. My sin is a small sin. Therefore, I'm going to talk bad about their sin, but my sin's so small, it's not even relevant in the context of things. And he says, anyone who breaks one of the least of these sins, and of course, what the Word of God says, if you break one, you broke them all. People are going to be really surprised. They're going to get in hell and say, what? And anyway, so anyone who breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches, and this is the fault, and teaches others to do the same. And think about that. You have people breaking them. Then you have people teaching people it's okay to break them. Mm-hmm. And then he says, we'll be the least in the kingdom of heaven. So you're thinking, oh, well, cool. You know, I'm still going to get into heaven. Then it doesn't matter. That's what people begin to teach. Like, oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. You just, you know, you might have a studio apartment, not a mansion or something. But then he goes on to say right here, but there's a conjunction that just nullifies what you just heard right there in the context of it. But whoever practices and teaches these commands, so we got to practice them and do them. You want to be a hearer. You don't want to be a do-doer. You don't want to be a who-doer. You know, you are who you what you do. You want to be a hear-doer. You hear God and you do it. Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be the great, will be called great in the kingdom of God. So you'll be called great. So what does that mean? It means like, move out of the 81 percentile, actually the 97%, but the 81 percentile that's not reading and begin reading, and start doing like the 3% of the 19% who are actually applying it to their life and practice what you're preaching. Mm-hmm. And then once you understand it, you begin to teach other people about it, and it's like, yo, dude, you're great in the kingdom of God. You have to understand, that doesn't mean you're great in the kingdom of darkness. You're probably hated. You're obviously hated and want to be done away with. Mm-hmm. And he wants to do away with you. But in the kingdom of God, you're considered great. But Matthew, Jesus goes on to say, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Jesus tells us plainly, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, which means not only do we need to know God's word and hide God's word in our heart, but we need to teach other people God's ways. People say, well, these people, they don't even know anything about God. It's like, well, have you ever taught anybody anything? Why are you blaming your disobedience on their disobedience? How are they going to know unless someone teaches them, right? Mm-hmm. Someone tells them, God's looking for you to stand in the gap and go teach him something. Not just something, but his teachings. Then he tells us in John 8, 31-32, Jesus plainly tells us, saying, if you hold to my teachings, then you're really my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So freedom comes in the context that when you are a great person in the kingdom of God, which means you hide God's word, you teach God's word, you practice God's word, and other people find God because you do this, then you're considered great, but they get set free because they become disciples of Jesus. And the grace that has been extended to those who believe is a grace to become Jesus' disciple, not a grace to sin. Not a grace of leniency. It's an empowerment by God to be able to walk righteously before God. And when we do err or make a mistake unwillingly and not desiring it, God forgives us for that. But he goes on to say, in regards to people say, well, you know, I got it. So I won't have a condo. I'll just have a studio apartment or something. Right. I'll just be glad to be there.
Right.
It's like, well, you're saying you're right. Come on. So this is what Jesus says here in Matthew 5:20. Jesus plainly tells us here, for I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Wow.
Not only will you be considered least, you won't even have access. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Not somebody who's not even in the kingdom of God, right?
Right.
This is what he says. He says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness, which means hiding God's word in your heart, reading it, you know, doing it, practicing it, and teaching others, obviously. He said, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's heaven, guys. That's heaven. No, you're not saved by works, but understand if you are saved, you desire to obey God. There's a desire inside of you. You're not achieving some goal. You're operating on a way of life of love for God. And so the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he talks about it in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 4. Jesus gives us more dimensions to understanding of being great in the kingdom of God. Jesus' disciples asked him this. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? I mean, the disciples who didn't even realize that Jesus, somebody touched him and got healed around him. Mm-hmm. They're going like, they're already, I want to be great. Yeah, I want to be great.
All right.
So Jesus blows their mind, I'm sure, and calls these little children all around him and had him stand amongst him. And he said to this is what Jesus said to that answer. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you change, by the way, that's repentance. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's childlike faith. I mean, Think about children. I mean, when children are young, they're not pacing the floor going, will there be any food today?
Mm-mm.
And they don't even care if you have any money or not. They still want things and stuff.
And they'll still ask.
It's amazing how that works. They don't go to bed at night going, oh, how is the political atmosphere? Will the king still be there? Will, you know, Congress make it? What's going on? I mean, you think about the simplicity. You think about food and clothing. I mean, their faith is so strong, they can have everything they want with their clothing, but they'll have faith for a brand name stuff or another color of something. And it's like, man, their faith is strong. They just keep asking, they just believe that it is confidence. And for you just name it. I mean, they don't pace back and forth in front of the pantry and just go, I'm just concerned. Will this be here tomorrow? They just suck it dry, expecting it's going to be there tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
That's right. I had teenagers. They just kind of stand and stare at food and just kind of sucks up into them. But they're humble. They're humble as children in regards to those components. As children, love, trust, and depend on their parents and just trust that their parents will take care of that. Jesus is saying you need to love and trust God and understand that he's going to take care of that. He tells us in Matthew chapter 6, he says, listen, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the grass of the field. Look at Solomon in all of his splendor. He said, don't you know that I'm going to take care of you? And that's that confidence. That's that confidence that you have in God. And we have to be like that with God. If God says it, somebody says, I can't believe you're just making these demands on God. It's not demands. It's just an expectation that he's not a man that he lies or a son of man that he changes his mind. If he said he forgave me, he forgave me. If he said he'll use me, he'll use me. Mm-hmm. If he said he'll heal you, he'll heal you. If he said he'll deliver you, he'll deliver you. If he said I got the authority to do this or that, then I got the authority to do this and that. If he says that the greatest of the kingdom of God is those who actually become like a child, humble ourselves, and not come like a, don't be a childish, but become like a child who just trust their parent. I mean, think about it. I was holding my grandson the other day, just brand spanking new. And it wasn't one thought at all that he could just wiggle all over the place and he could have easily just come out of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have any concerns at all. He just had a built-in confidence that he can do whatever he wants to. And you hold this little, you know, small child, you know, weeks old, a week old, if that, and stretched and moved and did all this kind of different things. And it's like, look how confident, you know, this child is, and he can just exist and have this joy in life. And that's how we're supposed to be, just trusting God to be able to do what he says he's going to do. He says, I know what you have need of before you even ask. Listen, not even a bird falls from the sky without me saying fall now. I even not only know the numbers of hair on your head, but each of them have a number. Listen, I got your back. Trust me. Trust me, and you'll be considered greatest in my kingdom. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
Should doctors who practice abortion be made known to the public? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Here's a quick question. Now, I know everything has been brought to the forefront, and an abortion issue is definitely needed to be done. But the one thing I haven't seen much of is the actual doctors that perform these hideous operations. Why can't they be brought up and put on the forefront?
If they perform a partial birth abortion, it's an illegal act. So now we have the law in place that if that happens, we can, in fact, get a resolution that includes prosecution by the Justice Department. The end result of that is, under the statute as passed, you can, in fact, go after the abortion doctor, the provider, if, in fact, they engage in what's called a late-term or partial birth abortion.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something or heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate,
you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people, I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on BFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too,
mm-hmm.
who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits. And these strange people show up, knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves, how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children. Even on their journeys, and so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, and they're going to relate to you, and you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular, of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Chris. If you missed it, we're talking about a move of God that's within inside of you. Everything that Christ is, that Jesus Christ is, you are inside. The kingdom is inside of you, and you need to hear it to be encouraged and get the faith to begin to believe God for a move of God in your life personally. And the hunger of God, the hunger for more of God will move the heart of God, and the fear of God will keep you in the move of God, and it won't be like a shooting star situation. Well, and also we talked about the greatest in the kingdom of God. If you want to find out, you know, where you are on the scale of least to the greatest, or not even in at all, you want to be able to hear, you know, what was shared there as we're reading the words of Jesus. You know, I'm thinking about, I like, you know, the statement, what's the point? You know, what is the point? It's important. It's amazing how many people live their life and never ask themselves that question. What's the point? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And it's like, have you ever even pondered the idea? I mean, you ever cry? You're just like, and they're like, well, no, it's what somebody else did. So I just started doing it. And what is it? We don't really know what it is, but we're just doing it.
Right.
And, you know,
it's always been this way.
It's always been this way. And it's like, well, you know, what's the point? You know, and I think about there's three types of folks. And I want to be able to talk about it, because it's kind of just really the question we need to ask ourselves, which one are we? Which one do we want to be? There's a first type of person. Who, you know, then we're talking about people who profess to be believers, that they are a person that are more like hearers. They're like hearers, like hearing with your ears. It makes me think about James chapter 1. I mean, they're such good hearers. They're such good hearers that they even dress up. They dress up with some of the very most expensive clothes they have. And they build buildings and with nice, comfortable seating to be able to show up, to sit there and be very attentive to hear what's being taught, to hear a preaching, a message.
Mm-hmm.
And they're such good hearers, and they're so dedicated that they even prepare for next week. They're planning on coming back to the same place with different expensive clothes on to hear again. And they're so dedicated, they will even sit there and hear you out for 10 or 20 years. They're not planning on doing anything with it, but they are hearers. I mean, they'll go, I like the rhythmic parts of that. And, you know, you're a front loader and you're a downloader, how you brought that thing in here. And man, that was just, oh my goodness. I heard that. You know what? I'm so moved and touched. I'm going to come next week and I'm going to hear it again. I just can't wait to hear you. And it's like, what's the point? It makes me think of James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, do not merely hear or listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. You know? Why do you think that man or woman of God is pouring their heart out? You want to encourage them? After you hear it, do it. I'm trying to think of a way to have Pastor's Appreciation Day. Do what they've been teaching you for 10 years. Right? He says, this is what he says. He says, James says, do not merely listen or hear the word and so deceive yourself. And right now in America, you have to admit, there's a lot of hearers. I mean, they are dedicated hearers. They'll build huge edifices, huge buildings and organizations just to hear. And what's interesting thing that those who are teaching them don't even ask this question here. What's the point? What's the point? You know, I'm not an entertainer. I'm trying to teach you what to do. Oh, we hear you.
All right.
And he says, and he says, do what they say. In verse 23, he says, anyone who hears or listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. See, hearers are like, well, that was great. Wasn't that wonderful? I like your dress. That's a nice suit. That wonderful. Did you hear the band? Did you hear how they, did you hear? Oh, it was just wonderful. It was just so. And by the time you get to the car, hear gets to the car, all they can think about is the ball game. And if somebody held a gun to their head, they couldn't tell you one thing they heard.
Nope.
Because that's not their point. Their point was, I just wanted to hear it. And then I want to leave it. And I will hear you again next week. I am a loyal hearer, deceived in all I do. But then there's another one. No, it makes me even think about this. It makes me think about, in the hearers, it makes me think about James chapter 2, verse 14. He says, what good is it? He's like, what is the point? James is saying. He said, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith and has no deeds? What's he saying? If you hear it, but you don't do it. Can such faith save him? Can hearers be saved? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well. I've heard that you had problems. Keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical condition. What good is this? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by doing something, by action, it's dead. So what does that mean? It means if you're a hearer, and listen, I understand you may have been around hearers for some time now, and it's amazing how much money they put into hearing, and it kind of makes you think, like, it's got to be right. I mean, they're putting so much money into this whole thing, and they do say amen, and they do, and the one who teaches doesn't even mind if they don't do it, and so maybe we're just supposed to hear. And then I get in trouble if I start doing it because they think I'm competing against them. And mm-hmm. So I think maybe I'm just supposed to hear. I don't know what it is. Deceived. That's what it is. That's what he says. Then you have the do. The doers. I'm just a doer, you know. The doers. You know, you go to all the people are concerned about is just doing something. The social justice movement, just doing something. You know, the people don't care about you. They just want to know what you do. You go to a meeting of people who are into doing and not into faith doing, but they're into doing. They just go, call them pancake breakfasts or whatever. They go, hey, how's things going? Good. What you doing? What do you do? And the one says, well, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What'd you do? Oh, you're doing that? I'm doing this. It's like, this is a doo-doo meeting. That's all we're talking about. I'm dying and you don't care. You just want to know what I'm doing.
All right.
And you walk in feeling like doo-doo and you leave feeling with a bigger pile of doo-doo. Right? It's like, yeah. You don't even care that your brother's dying. All you want to know is his do. Mm. And then, you know, a do meeting is people who are concerned about losing their value in men's eyes, because if your pile of do-do is not bigger than their pile of do, then they feel less valuable. Paul said, I consider it all do-do. Mm-hmm. I consider it all dung. And James talks about this when he starts talking in his word. He says, listen, you got to be a doer. You got to be a hearer and a doer. But there's people that just say, I don't have time to hear the word. I don't have time to go sit with a fellowship and hear the taught word of God. I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm part of the 81% that read my Bible, but I'm doing me and I am doing. Look at my t-shirt. Have you seen my bumper sticker? Mm-hmm. You know, I am a doer. I am a doer, not a hearer, just a doer. And then you have one other type of person. Hoodoo. Don't tell me there's not no hoodoo going on. Hoodoo has always happened since day one. And these are people who think they are what they do. They are their gift. I call it hoodoo. You know, if they didn't have their gift, they wouldn't know who they were. And so the hearers have no problem with hoodoo because it gives them something to hear. And the hoodoos really like to hear hearers because they have somebody to hear their hoodoo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the dude doers don't even know this is going on because they're not planning on hearing in the first place. And they might have a gift of prophecy. They might have a gift of administration. They may have a gift of giving or whatever it is, but they just, that's their gift. That's what they do. Miracles, tongues. But hoodoo. Total hoodoo. But it makes me think of what Jesus said about hoodoo. It's in Matthew chapter 7. He was talking about these guys. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, the difficulty with the hearer, they're not planning on doing. So they actually heard what they're supposed to do, but they're not going to do it. The problem with a doer is they're doing what they think is right, but not the will of the Father. Now, the difficulty with the hoodoo is they're actually being worshipped. They're actually wanting, they like the adoration and all that's being given, because people, they are what they do, preacher, teacher, whatever it is. And Jesus goes on to say, he says, listen, in verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not use our gifts? Don't you know who I am? I'm the one that sang that song where everybody was teared in their eye and they gave me an offering or went and bought me some stuff. Don't you remember who I am?
All right.
Look at my ring. Look at my watch. Look at my car, Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
He said, many people will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles. What does that mean? They use their gifts. And so many people think because you have a gift and it works when you use it, since it's right, you're right. But it was the name of Jesus that caused that to be right. This is what Jesus says to them. He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There's so much hoodoo going on. There is more here going on. A social justice movement would be like a do. When your brother's dying, when your sister's dying, and you come together to encourage each other, and all you talk about is what are you doing, you're in to do. But there's another people, and these are the people God's looking for, and these are the ones that are not deceived. These are the ones that are not going to be confronted at the throne room of God and say, listen, you know, away from me, you evildoers. Think about it, you evildoers, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are people who hear the word of God and they do what it says. I mean, you think about it. He says in James chapter 1, verse 25, he says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all he does. Think about it. I hear you want to be blessed. Do what you heard.
Yeah.
Do what you read. Do what you heard in your abiding time. And he goes on to say in James chapter 2 and verse 18, when he just got to talk about faith without works or deeds or doing is dead, just because you heard it don't mean you're right. You're going to have to do what you heard. In verse 18, James 2:18, he says, but someone would say, you have faith, I have works, I have deeds, I have doing. He says, show me your faith without works or doing, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe and shudder. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without doing? Do you want evidence that just hearing and doing and hoodoo is wrong? He said, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions, his doing, his hearing what God said, his doing what God said, were working together. And by this, his faith was made complete by what he did. Listen, are you incomplete? If you are a hearer, if you are a doer, you know, you got a lot of cards, business cards that talk about what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a who doer, I mean, you're booking engagements based on your gift when your life's falling apart. I got good news for you. Your faith can be complete. You can be like the father of faith. You can please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can be a part of the kingdom of God. You do this by one simple thing. You hear what God says. Abide with him. Hear his word. Hide his word in your heart. And do what he says. And he says, when you do this, you'll be blessed in all you do. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you ever heard someone speak about the Word of God and you just been in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. I was at the hardware store.
Wait a second.
Back
up. Don't even go any further. What was that?
Say that again.
You were where?
You were what? You were lost?
What?
I was searching hardware on Amazon.
Exactly.
No, I actually was at the hardware store. And
were you lost? Detail. Looking for the barber?
This has to be interesting. He wanted excitement, right?
Yeah. Well, you know.
This has to be interesting.
Well, you know, it was. They have like tools and things there. Uh-huh. And stuff. And I'm walking around looking at, they have like aisles and numbers and, you know, things that I've never been to. Anyway, I just stand there somewhere in an aisle and call the store. Hey, I'm looking for screws. Where are you? Hello. Anybody here? I'm having to find, actually, Pat and I went to the store sometime back, this hardware store. I needed a drill. I got to have a drill. And we come out, and he comes out, and he's the one that bought a drill.
I didn't get a drill.
And if you don't have a teenage son, you don't understand, but you will one day. Just plan in your future to get new tools.
Yeah, right.
And, that old thing? He's like, yes, that old thing. And so we walked out, and he came out with a real nice tool, it's drill and all that. But I realized later on, really? When I had to, I mean, that's a shame. There was a day that you actually screwed a screw in with the screwdriver.
With your hand.
labor.
I thought about it. I pondered that before this, and I thought, I'm going to go get that drill. And I didn't know. There's two things that Pat introduced to me. Well, other things we're not going to talk about. But yeah, the two things
is
totally.
Family program.
It's frozen. Oh, well, frozen food. I had no idea that you could actually, everything's frozen.
Frozen. Everything.
It don't matter what it is, man. I think his Bible
Chicken
comes
pie,
out of the freezer.
Pie, anything. Just
before he abides
there.
In the morning, I think his Bible comes out of the freezer and puts it in the microwave.
It's defrosting.
I warm it up.
And the other thing was that everything, no matter what it is, if it runs on electricity, it also will run on a battery. I'm serious. Prior to God bringing us together, that when we were in the plastic fabrication business, he was a master fabricator, and I hired him to come work for me. And he organized all the inventory.
The scrap.
Yeah, until you had your own company. And I just didn't know it. And you have these drills and you put a battery pack on. I mean, today they're commonplace, but back then it was amazing. I mean, the battery pack was like a 15-pound battery. You know, you put a backpack or something going around. No, but it was amazing. So you can get a battery for everything. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like taking a cord and plugging it into a receptacle to know that you don't have to go, I can't believe this battery's not charged up.
Yeah, right.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, he has not been introduced to the extension cord yet. So everything's on batteries. As a matter of fact, you should have a battery car. You and President Obama, you know, he has a new car industry now, runs on what are the batteries? Ever-Ready's or something? The Ever-Ready car?
I don't know, but, you know, he's very, I think that'll fit you, Pat.
I can see him stuck on the road somewhere. Oh, this battery wasn't charged up.
That'd be my luck.
How would that limousine move? That's what I want to know with that battery. I mean,
I don't know.
You need a super duper battery for that.
He's so far back from the motor, he probably can't even hear it run. So he's probably thinking about it. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and Pat and Chris is joining me. We're going to hurry up and quickly get in this the 10th part of the 10-part interview. Done by Sid Roth of Tom Horn and Chris Putnam. We're going to cut right into the interview here of the books that they've written about Exo Vaticana and Petros Romanos. And it is about the Malachi prophecy and Is This the Last Pope? Listen up.
For the Messiah, my guest, Chris Putnam, co-author of the best-selling book, Petros Romanos, The Last Pope. Chris, on this Friday broadcast, I want you to use what you know from having studied the documents in the Catholic Church and interviewing many people in the Catholic hierarchy, what you know about Scripture, and of course, you are a theologian, and your sanctified imagination. Paint me a picture of what we can expect from the last pope.
Well, Sid, you know, what I've uncovered is some particularly disturbing theological constructs that have been adopted within Roman Catholicism. It really goes back to the work of a Jesuit named Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And Chardin was a paleontologist that operated. He really discovered evidence for evolution and Darwinism in the early 20th century. And during his time, he was widely considered a heretic in Catholic circles. Now, a lot of people think that Pope Benedict XVI, he gets described as a conservative in the media, and that's because of his stances on things like abortion and same-sex marriage. And yes, he takes conservative stances on those sorts of issues, but I found some really startling statements that he has made in his theological writings, where he's really adopted Chardin's concept of evolution. Chardin kind of pioneered this really mystical system of Darwinism. And, you know, the whole idea of aliens and belief in extraterrestrials living on other planets, this whole idea of astrobiology, it's really fundamentally founded on a worldview that says that life is really not special, that it just sort of evolves when the conditions are right. If you have water and a planet a certain distance from its star where the temperatures are helpful, then life will just kind of pop into being. And because of this, and there's, you know, they postulate that there's millions of planets out there, there's really no reason to assume that the Earth is special, so we should think that life has appeared all over the place. And this is the worldview that drives modern astronomy and astrobiology. And the modern Jesuits have widely accepted this worldview and these tenets of the Earth being a mediocre planet amongst many. Now, given these worldview issues, it's kind of astounding, you know, when I hear people saying that Pope Benedict is, conservative, because they wholeheartedly endorse this Darwinistic worldview where man is just an evolved primate. and that, you know, that extraterrestrials are an inevitable corollary to that worldview. Now, you know, with that in mind, a lot of the things that they write start to come into focus. Some of their most respected theologians, Giuseppe Tanzanella Nitti, who was a member of Opus Dei and a professor of theology at the University of the Holy Cross in Rome, has actually written quite a bit on what they call exotheology. Now, he's talking about unexpected information of a religious character from extraterrestrial civilizations. Now, what he recommends is that we have to submit this new religious contact coming outside of the earth to analysis of reasonableness. And once the trustworthiness of the information has been verified, that we should try to reconcile the new information with the truth that we already know or believe on the basis of revelation of the one true God, conducting, this is his words, a rereading inclusive of the new data, similar to that which would be applied in ordinary religious dialogue. So he's saying that we should reread the revelation that we've been given in light of this new data from extraterrestrials. Now, this is their own writings, and so it really seems like they are anticipating this and have laid the foundations for it. Now, the thing that I find deeply troubling about that is that, you know, the track record of them rereading Revelation in interreligious dialogue is already pretty dismal.
So when you're saying rereading, are you saying reinterpreting it and totally changing the gospel? Is that what you're implying?
Yeah, I think that is the danger. I think that's what we're looking at. And, you know, the thesis that Tom Horn and I are advocating is that we don't believe in extraterrestrials. I mean, you know, just to be, you know, really honest, the Bible doesn't say one way or the other, but it doesn't give me the impression, you know, the Bible has a philosophy of history. You know, it tells us, you know, that God has a plan for the earth and that the earth is central in his plan. It tells us that angels long to look into these things. You know, the earth is, you know, and humanity are a central focus of what we read in Scripture.
Okay, if you don't believe in extraterrestrials, what do you believe in? Do you believe there will be demons that will pose in that position? Is that what you believe?
That's absolutely my thesis.
It's amazing. You can hear the rest of this on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch to hear the entire in its entirety. But this is amazing. You hear all 10 parts of this interview, or just get the books, or go to SidRoth.com and hear it's going to happen somehow. I do want to say that God loves Catholics, and so do we. And this has nothing to do about that. But this is your people. This is your evidence that they did during their investigation, and you can find out more about it by going to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch. It's the big thing that says The Torch right there in the middle of the VFNTV. You got to go. There's so many things available for you, and you can hear all 10 parts of the interview and understand that the coming of our Lord is near. These things are going to unfold. How it unfolds, God knows how they're going to unfold, but we're called to search those things out. These guys don't call themselves prophets. They call themselves investigators that investigated. And I do want to remind you, tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer. Join somewhere in praying for our nation. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.